Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast, where you learn about advanced wealth building strategies from real estate investing to creating massive ROI and secure retirement profits. So pour yourself a cup of coffee, grab a notepad, and lean in. Because Big Mike has got the mic, starting now.
Welcome to the Big Mike Fun Podcast. I'm the Big Mike.
Mike Zlotnik, and today it is my pleasure and a privilege to welcome back my really good friend, Jim Shields. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
Big Mike, good to see you.
Good to see you too. How you doing? What's new and exciting? How's family? How's sunny Florida?
Family is good. Sunny Florida is good. Five kids are still rocking, and Jamie's good. And I got to tell you this milestone: I hit 50 years old 2 days ago, so I am a half century old. Remember, you used to know me when I was young. We both met each other when we were young, but.
Well, congratulations, you're catching up. Yeah, I'm a few years older than you, but 50 is a good, nice round number.
So
congratulations.
Thanks, Mike. Well, things are good down here. You know, it's a different market right now, which I know you and I have had private conversations on when we saw each other a few weeks ago at an event. But there are some very good things happening in the real estate. There's some interesting things that aren't great happening, but it's definitely I think a good time to be doing what we're doing.
So you're doing build to rent, right?
Just build to rent.
Be very clear. So you're building build to rent. Is it mostly in Florida?
All in Florida right now. We just did our first fee build project in Texas. So we have officially entered the Texas market as well. And if all goes right, our goal by the end of the year, Mike, is to enter Tennessee as well.
I got you. So your building, is it single family, townhouses, is it duplexes? What kind of product seems to be doing well?
All residential, the single family, a townhouse, single family, duplex, and quads. So we're staying four units or less. And you know what's really helping? All of them are still continuing to do well. And I think a lot of it because something called a builder forward commitment. Which I know you probably know what those are, but we're now not only in the house building business, Mike, but we're in the money buying business. So we're buying mortgages in large blocks and it's not cheap, but we're able to still lock our people in at interest rates of, you know, 4.75% interest. And that keeps the cash flow healthy where most people are struggling. So that has been an absolute key to what we're doing and why I think, you know, the properties are in demand. Obviously, nothing is as hot as it was in 2021. But Florida is still growing and there is still an inventory shortage. So we're feeling good in the overall, but the interest rate abilities right now, I think are key in whatever we're doing. I think that's where, you know, that's where the commercial markets have struggled because of these dang interest rates. And we're able to work with them a little easier.
So just to explain, you're pre-buying large blocks of mortgage pools, and you are essentially prepaying number of points upfront to lower the interest rates for your buyers.
Yes, sir.
From 7, let's just call it 7.25%, whatever the market is, to somewhere right below 5. Is that what you're doing?
That's exactly it, Mike. And that is a big 2.5 points that we're making the difference on. And when you're buying a $1 million quad in a high end of Jacksonville, that can be the make and break of instant cash flow or instant negative cash flow.
I got you. What is it costing you? Just curious. If you were to get somebody a loan sub 5% and you have to pre-buy those points.
Every block is different, Mike. Every block is different of the money you're buying. But here's what I can tell you. If a person listening to this was to walk into their own mortgage company and name whichever one they want, but any of the ones that are working, you know, within Fannie and Freddie Mae have good standing, let's say they do volume, and they tried to get the rates that we're offering, they would be paying over 10 points.
So it's a 4-to-1 ratio. To get 2.5% discount, they got to pay 4 times that in the form of...
They would have to. Now, we can get it done for a little cheaper since we're buying in bulk, just like anything else. But for an individual, they're looking 10 to 12 points to get what we get.
I got you. So you are significantly helping them. You're subsidizing effectively the mortgage. And these are 30-year fixed mortgages, right?
We do 30-year fixed and we do a 10-year fixed with a 30-year AM. So whichever one you want, we can do either.
I got you. So from your ability to sell into the marketplace, that's a critical feature that helps your buyers to be able to afford paying those mortgages and to make these investments economically feasible. So, and obviously, you are subsidizing this is coming out of your profit. So you're forced to just, you're not discounting the properties, but you're paying these large sums of money on behalf of the borrowers to cut the interest costs.
Yeah, we're selling them at market value. So, you know, if you try to go above market value, they're not going to appraise. So we sell at market value and we take a discount to our profit margins. And we're okay with that. As you know, we were partially acquired by Sumitomo about a year and a half ago, and they're a very good partner to have. We have no bank debt, which is pretty incredible for a builder of our size. No bank debt. They're 330 years old, so they look at things very long term. And the instruction they had is said, hey, let's take lower margins and just keep doing your volume. And these things will correct. We've seen lots of situations. So we're in a great situation where some builders, even by their bank requirements, if they're getting bank loans, they have to be hitting a certain profit margin. We don't have any of that. So we're lucky to have really good long-term partners that are saying, no, let's keep your pipeline healthy. Let's just take a lower margin per property and keep a good volume. And that's kind of our strategy, Mike, that we see for, you know, at least the next year, as we feel rates are going to go down. I don't know where you are at, but I do feel there is going to be some drop that will help with some of the market conditions again. But who knows?
Yeah, who knows? I happen to believe that the rates have to come down. The question is when. Just at the end of the day, the Fed is not in a hurry, and overall market seems to be reflecting the sticky inflation type of situation. But that aside, on a long-term basis, if the Fed is able to hit their 2% inflation target, then the long-term interest rate should not be where they are right now. They should be a healthy spread over 10-year Treasury yield. But for now, we are in a very restrictive territory. So we'll leave that alone. We just don't know where it's going to go. Now, as far as the product, I assume it's all investor focused, or any of the properties you're selling owner occupied, or that's not really kind of the not too much over that product. And then the other question that I had was, where in Florida are you? You know, I know you were doing in Jacksonville, Ocala, and in between, and just curious what other areas of Florida that seem to be
Yeah,
working.
so we're in Northeast Florida of Jacksonville, Palm Coast, and then over to Ocala, Inverness, Citrus Springs, and then head down to, you know, Greater Fort Myers area. We're in about seven different markets in Southwest Florida. So those are our main hubs right now and our main focus. Those are the areas.
And again, the first question was, investors or owner occupied,
Oh,
or
yeah, and that's,
a
yeah. So
mix where they'll buy a quad, live in one unit, and rent
great
the.
question. So it's very interesting, Mike. We've seen in the last 6 months a big jump in. So we focus on investors. Yes, we have some properties and we have a small retail division. Sumitomo wanted us to sell some retail properties. So we do. And at the affordability level we're at for these, they do sell well. But we like to work with investors. That's our main BTR model. That's the bulk of our business, working with investors, building portfolios. And we want that to continue. And so that's where I focus most of my time, is in those types of properties. But there is a quasi buyer right now called the house hacker, where, you know, in November when they dropped the FHA guidelines from 25% down on a duplex, triplex, or quad to 5%, we've seen a lot of people come out of the woodworks to buy a duplex or buy a quad and live in one unit and then rent the others. So that's been very interesting. It was something we came across once in a while, you know, years back. Now, I'd say it's a weekly occurrence where someone is putting an offer in on one of our properties as a quote unquote house hacker, again, which just means, oh, well, they're going to live in one unit, they're going to rent the others.
That makes a lot of sense. In big cities like New York, where I live, it's a very common occurrence. You buy a three family house, you live in one, and you try to rent the other two. Not sure if it's a frequent occurrence in Florida, but I guess it does happen from time to time.
Starting to now.
And the other quick question is, as far as the supply demand, So the interest rates are high. You're working through financial engineering to offer them these low interest rates. You're sort of supporting the market, and you're building quite a bit. You see the trend continue. In other words, if interest rates fall, of course, it will be a tailwind. It'll support what you're doing. Hopefully, the rates will not go much higher from here. What about supply demand equilibrium? Are you seeing, U.S. turning, especially Florida, where you're building into renter nations? A lot of people retiring to Florida. Are they retiring to be renters in these built-to-rent properties? I'm just curious, who are the folks who are actually living in these properties?
Yeah, I mean, we have some new retirees that move into our properties, but I think more people are moving here with more base level replaceable job income source that actually provides service to the new retirees and the baby boomers. So I'd say we have more of that workforce community moving into our properties. That's who the main bulk of our renters are. And again, everyone's always looking at inventory levels. It's been a very interesting time in Florida, where I think we had about 2 weeks inventory at one point in the pandemic on our major markets, which is just very unhealthy. But right now we're still just at about, there's been lots of properties come back on because that couldn't sustain. But there's probably we're at about the levels of 2019 now, which was by all means a normal market. So you're seeing more properties on the market. There was a larger stabilization period from especially 2 years ago to get properties leased up. Nothing more than a few months, but definitely a longer stabilization. So that's something that we always keep an eye on as well.
Interesting. Yeah, I appreciate that clarification. So the market is sort of normal right now. What would happen if a formal recession hit? I'm just curious. It's a stress test question, and I don't know if it's easy question to answer, but something is sort of soft landing, whatever you call it, whatever's happening out there right now. But higher for longer rates that are certainly damaging the economy. Overall, at some point, they will damage it to the point where a consumer is going to be really hurt. At that point, Fed may start easing, which will be sort of a tailwind. Nonetheless, we might see more unemployment. We see more challenges in the economy as a result of this. Are you sort of preparing for it, modeling for it?
Yeah, the nice thing again, Mike, is had we not been acquired partially by Sumitomo, that would be a big stress. I know that there are really good builders out there. There are really good commercial syndicators out there, and the banks are just being really a little screwy. They're just scared. And so I think access to capital is key right now. The fundamentals from what I'm seeing are there, especially as we're not going to the low-end areas, but we're also not high-end builders. We like to place ourselves just below the median, and that has a really good safety score through past recessions, and that's where we're sticking to. So that gives us a certain degree of comfort. I wouldn't say complete safety. There's never complete safety in any of these things, but that's where we stick to. And we're still feeling like we're in that range of where, okay, if people have to downsize, they'd want to downsize into our properties. So we're holding fast to the model that we're in. And we're continuing to build again with having a long-term partner that's looking out not the next 2 quarters, but the next 8 to 10 years. They're allowing us to build with a degree of comfort. And there's a need right now because you know this, a lot of larger commercial developments have gone on hold. They're not putting the units on the ground that are needed here in Florida. They've stopped because of the financing. And that gives us an opportunity to deliver these smaller units in bulk that we think will fill a needed void.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The other question is, are you dealing with insurance challenges? So insurance has been a massive nightmare for Florida. In some the hurricane zone towns have massive spikes in insurance, or it's completely not insurable. So are you able to get are these properties insurable? Are there companies that insure? Have you seen significant spikes in the insurance costs? Just curious, what's the impact?
Great question. Here's what I always say, Mike, that I've learned, because you and I have both done old and new properties together, right? I didn't realize the degree of difference in analysis that insurance companies do between those two properties. And they absolutely, completely, and totally favor new construction. Why? Because, since 2004, after that big hurricane hit Punta Gorda, they changed the building requirements. How high does it have to be built? Where are the fasteners and the structural designs have to be? And so, that last big hurricane that hit here, Hurricane Ian, Mike, we had almost 300 projects down there, and we had four, only four that needed insurance claims. And those four, they were just freestanding walls. We didn't have time to tie the roof on, which really gives it that strength through the wind. So the wind knocked over the freestanding walls, but we had no flooding. And the insurance companies look at that. How did you perform through big situations? And new construction, our new construction has performed very well. And that gives them the ability to underwrite us more and for better pricing. In fact, we got from one of our main carriers here a notice of reduction on a ton of properties for our investors in Q1 of this year. So everyone has been saying to me, and I know this, I mean, you've been to my house, Mike, and I live one off the beach. House was built in 2004. Good sized house. My little barrier island is only 11 houses wide. You go down about six houses where the land gets much lower. They're little houses built in the 50s, low lying land, different structural design. Their insurance, even though the house is one third of the size of mine, will be seven times, 5 to 7x what my insurance rates are. And this is where, if you're going to come to Florida, look at the individual property, because one property a block from each other could have a totally different insurance rating and therefore premium. And that's something you want to look at, obviously.
That's a very interesting observation that I guess it's new construction meeting the new hurricane standards, all the requirements, a significantly better product for the insurance underwriters versus the older properties where there can be water or wind damage. And then, yeah, that's very interesting. That's, I guess, builds the case for your product over the older product.
Yeah,
So.
and that's not something we planned. That's not something we planned, Mike. And I didn't understand, all of this until afterwards, going, geez, how did houses survive so well? Well, and if you're buying and building a house in 1955, you could be at 2 feet, 3 feet above sea level. Now you're required to bring in tons of dirt, which is expensive, and we kind of groveled about. Now we're glad we did it. But then we got to build up to 13, 14 feet above sea level. I mean, that is a monstrous difference when there's water coming through. And, normally, if you've ever been through hurricanes, and I've been through plenty of them now, that water rush is a very short-term thing. It could be less than an hour to a few hours normally. And so, that is a huge difference in how will the property hold up depending on that height. And let there be no mistake. Flooding always has caused more damage in hurricanes than wind ever has. That's a big misconception that I believed years ago, being a Northeasterner. We didn't face too many hurricanes up there together, Mike.
Well, Jimmy, I can tell you my memory of Sandy, Hurricane Sandy, that hit New York
Oh,
City area. And
that's
yeah,
true.
it was only category one, but when you have narrow waterways and then you have a lot of wind pushing the water in and things get jammed, really jammed, and the water rises. I remember in an area where I live in Brooklyn, the water went up all the way to the top of the of a stop sign, near.
Wow.
It was that high. All the houses in the area that they got flooded, and you don't need a lot of water to destroy a house. You just need a 1 or 2 feet of water to create damage in on the first floor. And if you have a basement, obviously it gets flooded. So it's it doesn't take much for a water damage to create a gigantic problem.
Yeah.
So yeah, versus the wind damage is much much less. So it's a good point. Forward outlook. Later this year, next year, interest rates soften up. which will give you some more ability to continue to provide affordable rates for your investors. If the rates fall from where they are now, 7.25, 7.5, down to 6.5, you'll probably continue to do what you do today. You're still going to buy it down to 5%, maybe 4.75. It might just improve your margins because your buy down cost will come down.
Come down, yeah.
But fundamental demand, you still see people moving to Florida. You don't see an oversupply of product in Florida because it's you're building now when the interest rates are high and buyers are still buying. When the interest rates will come down, it should only support the demand in theory. But what
Yeah.
about fundamental forces, supply and demand, people still moving to Florida? And the other question I had, I'll let you answer this question first, then move to the next one. Florida has seen all kinds of issues with condos. So many condo buildings are forced to go through major expenditures, and the maintenance charges are through the roof. A lot of properties are in distress as a result. And I'm just curious if this condo boom is going to basically change into let's get away from these condos and go into single family or built to rent your product. So I'm just curious if you have any thoughts on a forward, because I'm hearing
Yeah.
horror stories in the condos. It's just people are retired and they can't afford their maintenance because the requirements are through the roof and the charges that they are forced to
Yep.
collect are just
Yep.
astronomical.
Yeah, and special assessments are never a happy situation if you've owned a condo before. I've been there years ago, and that can definitely get costly and be quite a surprise. We've stayed completely away from the condo market, Mike. And really a lot of the markets for condos of, Orlando and Fort Lauderdale, Miami, maybe St. Petersburg, which I own property in, but these areas, Tampa, it's not where we invest. We go very second tier, where there's still population growth and economic growth. But it's very second tier. Jacksonville, all the property areas that I named are not the main ones you know about, and they're not big condo markets. And from what we're seeing is there can be oversupplies, especially you've seen the national home builders pull back, but they build a different type of property than us. I think it's like less than 8% of all new builds since 2008 have been under 1,400 square feet. And that's the majority of what we do, whether it's one of our small single family homes, our duplex units, our quad units. We're trying to fill that void in the market because, again, the national home builders, we're not trying to compete with them. They do what they do. They make their bigger spreads on bigger properties. They have zero interest in building our little homes. Our duplexes or quads are completely foreign to them. So we're seeing that there's still a need for our type of housing. Being an investor focused company, the investors are still coming here because we have one of the most important things that I believe right now, Mike, is not only returns, fundamentals, and projected growth, but also landlord laws. And you have to be able to collect rent. And there's certain areas in the US, man, it's gotten dang hard to collect rent without a huge fight. We were in Atlanta. Atlanta has great fundamentals. We've completely pulled out of Atlanta. Many of the build-to-rent people that I know and with some deep pockets have pulled out of Atlanta. Why? Because it went from about 45 days to evict a tenant who wasn't paying or treating the property well to 14, 15, 16 months. And so this is something that I think really for our niche, the investor niche, keeps us in a good position because investors are doing their homework and saying, we want to go where there's fundamental growth and good landlord laws, and we still have that.
Yeah, I live in New York. To evict somebody here,
I
it's a long time.
apologize. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. I was joking with you, Big Mike.
No, it's all good. Listen, you don't have to tell me these fundamental these
Landlord
markets.
laws.
Yeah, the landlord-tenant laws make a big difference. So in New York, I know the drill. It's tough. It's absolutely tough to evict. So if Atlanta has become that, and I heard that, and certainly not a good built-to-rent market on a forward basis. So Florida
Yeah.
is one of these more landlord-friendly states. So it makes a lot of sense. All good things come to an end. Unfortunately, so does this interview. How would folks reach out to you if they want to learn more about your properties that you're selling, what's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, if you want to learn more about us, just go to southernimpressionhomes.com. You can learn about our build-to-rent company, who we work with, anyone from individual investors to some of the largest institutions in this space. I'd love to help you out if we can, and you can download a free copy of my book, The Passive Income Playbook, which is all about build-to-rent and how it came to fruition. This is a very new niche, as you know, Mike, and we tried to tell the story of it.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate you coming on a podcast. Thank you for sharing, and great to chat with you again, and hope we do it again soon.
Hope so, Mike.
One thing I can tell you, that your story has been very consistent over the years. It continues to be a consistent story with a few developments here or there, but overall, what you're doing, this business seems to be a steady eddy, and it works really well. So that's my two cents.
Thanks, Mike. It's always good talking with you.
Likewise. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you for listening to the Big Mike Fund Podcast. To receive your copy of Mike's How to Choose a Smart Real Estate Fund book, head to BigMikeFund.com or visit Amazon and type Mike's slot name. Keep listening and keep investing Big Mike style. See you on the next episode.